Welcome to Some Say I'm Gifted, where we teach you the magic of walking in your spiritual gifts and how it can help you navigate this crazy life, and helping you understand that even though we're in this world, we are not of it. So take a deep breath, relax your shoulders, and let's get real.
Hey, y'all. What you doing? Sitting around making fart noises? That's what I'm doing.
Not in my mouth, Dad. My God.
It's so weird. I've never heard that before. Okay. Hey, y'all. I'm Tess from Some Say I'm Gifted. This is Some Say I'm Gifted. And I'm here with Morgan Danielle, also from Some Say I'm Gifted. So why don't y'all speak up and say hello?
Hello, everyone. I am Danielle.
Hey, I'm Morgan.
Sorry, I got a tickle in my throat. If you heard all the coughing, we've been talking a lot tonight. So, what?
This morning.
Oh my God, it is morning. Jesus, help me. Okay. Speaking of Jesus, sometimes it's the only person you have to turn to, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. We've come up with a really cool episode idea, and I think it's something that even if you're not married, you can benefit from, because I know a lot of people that aren't married that are still in a relationship and deal with relationships, correct?
Mm-hmm, for sure.
You better say yes, guys. Okay.
Jeez.
Huh?
Jace.
Jace. I used to date a guy. You know why I said that all the time, right?
No.
I dated a guy who was Cuban, okay? And he had some of the best things. First of all, he was like talking to me and we speaking in Spanish. I said, oh my God, are you a player? And he went, play a beach? And I went, excuse me? He said, play a beach. I went, you want to say it one more time? You want to just keep calling me names? He goes, no, play a beach. I went, I don't think you get it. And then I asked a friend of mine, like, what? And they were like, playa, the word player in Spanish means the word beach. Like, oh, I'm going to the beach.
Oh.
So it was like the first argument we had. Mm. But he also told me things like, your mother, she clip your wings.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Muchas bias, lots of kisses. Mm. So if like somebody comes up and is trying to be like, let me tell you about our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm like, muchas bias. They're like, oh, you're Spanish, sorry.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, I just told him lots of kisses.
Yeah,
there you go.
And he would say, I would say, hey, Ollie, he would Jace.
Jace.
Yeah.
Jace.
Oh.
Do you want to go to the store? Jace. All right, let's go. So we thought it would be cool for me and Morgan and Danielle to write down and answer on air some questions. Some of them are questions that they've heard from other people. They've heard their friends go through. Some of them that are questions they've heard me talk about. So let's hit the questions. I feel like we should have a round of applause.
Yeah.
But let's see what we got here.
Okay, so first question is, what commonly asked questions do you get from couples about their relationships?
Yeah. Some of the most commonly asked questions I get involve, how do I convince my spouse to do what I want them to do? Whether it's, how do I get my husband to mow the grass every Saturday because I like the perfect lines and I don't want to spend the money to, he won't spend the money to get like a landscaper, so I know he has, like, you would be surprised. To, how do I get my wife to consent a threesome? How do I get, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
How, I think they come to me thinking, I've got a crystal ball and I'm going to go, crystal ball, damn it. You know, it's, that's not how I work. So it's really weird for me to get some of those questions. But I think those are the most, those are the funny ones to me, because that's not what I am. I mean, if that's what you're coming to me for, is to work to a point for you both to become,
to force somebody into doing something else.
Yeah, that's not what I'm, but if, like, let's say you and your spouse are coming to me to try to get into a polyamorous relationship, I will talk about it with you. Mm-hmm. I will tell you the yays and the nays of it, but it's really, that's not my, mm-hmm. I don't want to try to convince anybody to do anything that's not healthy, right?
Right.
And that's not consensual. That's the big one, right? Mm-hmm. So I do get that a lot. I also get a lot of what ifs in relationships.
Okay.
And I don't know if I should elaborate on what ifs.
I think you should.
I'm intrigued.
What if he cheats? What if he falls out of love with me? What if she is sleeping with her boss? What if?
Mm-hmm. Those what ifs. Do people who bring you what ifs bring you multiple what ifs?
Usually. Sometimes it's one what if that they spiral.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So if someone does come to you with a what if,
mm-hmm.
like, what if my partner cheats on me?
Mm-hmm.
What if they decide to leave me? What do I do? How would you answer that question for them? How would you approach that?
Where they're spiraling, mm-hmm. about that. First, I would say, okay, has your partner, before you were married or since you've been married, because I'm not saying I only deal with marital relationships, but if it's to that extreme and they're spiraling, first I go, are you married? If they're married, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So how, before you were married or since you were married, has your spouse knowingly and admittingly cheated on you? What do you think the answer is most of the time?
No.
You're right. Okay. How do you know? Because I talked to them about it. Okay. But what if they lie? Well, I've also, like, we've set boundaries, you know,
they things. They go through their phone.
Go through their phone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or, like, for me and my husband, we know each other's passwords, and if any time they want to go, he wants to go through my phone, he's more than welcome to, but he knows what he's going to find, so he doesn't want to, you know.
He doesn't
want to
see the dick pics.
No, it's not the dick pics, it's the numbers and mounds of texts that I get going, are you sure? Are you sure? Really, really? Yes, really, really. So, and I don't want to see what his employees and him are talking about, because I am not in the medical field and I don't want to know. But yeah, a lot of things, like you go through his phone, you have tracker apps. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, so you have all these things. And has any of these things ever proven that there's a chance that they've cheated? No.
So you're having an irrational thought.
No. How many times have you cheated on a spouse?
Ooh. Yeah.
It sucks. And they don't like me. And a lot of them won't work with me again. Not always the case. Sometimes they'll be like, absolutely never. It's my mom cheated on my dad, or vice versa. So then when they say something like that, I go, okay. Or they say, nobody. When I was in high school, I was engaged to a girl, and she broke my heart by cheating on me with my best friend. And I go, okay.
So it's coming from somewhere.
It's coming from a place.
Mm-hmm.
If it's coming from the place, if it's because it happened in your past, or it happened to your parents, your grandparents, somebody you care about, then that's you're feeling this way because you're insecure about yourself and you don't feel good enough or to accept your spouse's love. Mm. Which is not a, you would think, okay, you fixed me. No.
Just scratch the surface.
You're like, that's the start.
No, I don't even think it's a start. I can't say that at first. It takes long walks on that. That's a long walk talk. You know, it's going to take a while. It takes a long time to make you realize that you're worthy of love.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually start out by doing things like, what made you love this person? And what made that person love you? So it's a long process, but a lot of it has to do with insecurities. But if you ask me, poisonally, cheating is nothing but insecurity. You're doing it to prove to yourself that you can get it. Or, my favorite one, you're doing it to prove to yourself that you're heterosexual. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll never prove yourself right. There's not enough in the world to prove some things.
And maybe that's why people continually cheat.
Yes, when they have rapid, you know, I know counselors that will say whether they've cheated once or 150 times, they're doing it because they're a latent homosexual. If it's that scenario.
Gotcha. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
Hmm. Okay, next question. Mm-hmm. How do you maintain the amount of love in your relationship? So say you have a fear that a relationship will end. How do you continue to make that relationship thrive?
My biggest question is, what relationship ended in your life that left you with this fear? Was it the fear that your mom and dad were going to leave? One of them was always going to constantly leave, or one was actually stepping out on the other? Or was it because you watched somebody stay in a lovingless relationship? And because they stayed, a part of them died.
So therefore, you're worried that a part of you is
dead. Will die.
Gotcha.
The answer to that, after finding that out, is if you were married to the person, they married you for a reason. What is the reason? And they're like, well, I don't know, I'm not them. Okay. Is it because they love you? Is it because they can't live without you? Because they love you. Not because financially they can't live without you. So then, you know, once we kind of work into that, it's the next thing would be, why do you feel like if this relationship ended, your life would end? Because that's like the next, that's kind of what they're tying their self-worth to, is whether or not their relationship ends. So that really deep down is what it boils down to. They live probably in a community where as long as your marriage looked okay, nobody said anything about you boning your neighbor. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, does that?
Mm-hmm. So how do you overcome that?
Well, the first thing is to have communication with your spouse. And I think counseling and therapy for couples is so good because it gives you supposed to be a non-biased third party to talk to. Mm-hmm. And it gives you a place to say, why should she feel this, or should he feel this way? Should she feel this way? And they're like, no. And, you know, if it's over-exaggerated, like, the therapist will call it out. But the best way is to get to the root of, I feel this way because I watched my grandfather cheat on my grandmother, and it was a lovingless relationship, and I feel like that deep down caused her to have more pain and maybe even made her life horrible or made her miserable hoe or, you know, made her somebody that nobody wanted to be around. Whatever, you know. And I don't want to be that. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Little follow-up question to that. Couples counseling. Uh-huh. Is it usually best to do when the couple is together, when they're separate, or do both?
I think it's good to get a feel for both. Like, you're going to do male, female first, whatever. You do separate, and then you do together, and you separate and together. That's how I do it.
Got it.
But I do have some clients that their spouse doesn't want to be involved with it. And I'm like, okay, great, but let me tell you what I would do and how I would work through it, and you can ask them their opinion. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you can't get your spouse to counseling, right? And you don't have to always. So if that's the case, as far as I can go, and most counselors can go, is I can get to the root of your issues, and I can work through it to make, because you are my client, they're not. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I wish bad on your relationship. I'm just saying I can't help mold that clay.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, let's say that like a female came to me and said that, I would say the number one thing in your relationship is going to be communications. anything from, hey, I have these fears, I have these worries, these are things that haunt my brain. Not all at once. Like, you got to work this in. Like, do you ever have fears and worries about our relationship not working out? Do you ever have fears and worries of, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. You ease into that conversation, or you come out. But the more you're like, I'm terrified you're going to sleep with somebody else, you're going to leave me, we're going to never be in love, you're going to, you know, if you do, it's that anxiety you feel, you're just trauma dumping on somebody, and they will be like, I think I gotta go to McDonald's. You know what I mean? Like, it causes, and that will start causing
fractures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, not just that, but like wedges, you know? Mm-hmm. So talking about it and being honest and open and saying things like, thank you for giving me the room and the space to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Saying things like, hey, I just need to talk to you about this. I know you're not doing it, but if I don't tell you, I feel like me not telling you will make it worse.
Because mm-hmm. you start spiraling.
Yeah. Well, like, for instance, my husband works with a lot of young females. Mm-hmm. He's over nurses. Like, he manages nurses. And one of the things that, like, one of my sisters said is, doesn't that freak you out that he works with all these young nurses, and scrubs nowadays are, like, wearing, you know, see-through clothes and all this? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if he would have wanted that, he would have got that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And let them hoes come around and deal with these children. You know what I mean? Like, but, yeah, do I think about it? Yeah, I can't. Everybody. And that's the other thing, is to look at a situation and go, you're not the Lone Ranger. Everybody does this. But especially when I'm working with individuals, let's get to that root of your problem. Like, is it because you feel unworthy? Is it because you have cheated before, so you think everybody cheats? Is it because your parents got cheated? I mean, it is, there's so many things that I don't think people realize go into that, right? Mm-hmm. But when you really break it down and you go, hey, you're worthy, they're with you because they love you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's all great and good. But if the other person has a problem, and that's something you have to realize, cheating on a relationship is not always one person. Let me tell you, for instance. Mm-hmm. There was a couple I had years ago. And they've been together for a long time. And he kind of just, personally, I think he had some hormonal issues and testosterone issues because he had no sex drive. Like, it was gone. Hers wasn't. And I know that most people think it's the other way around.
Mm.
So she sought out an emotional relationship with someone. And it almost destroyed them. Mm-hmm. So, is it her fault? Yeah. Is it his fault? Yeah.
And an emotional affair is almost worse.
It depends on the person.
Yeah.
It depends on the person. So I know women that are like, if my husband's going to cheat, I'd rather just go bang a hoe and go on with it. Which,
that's not healthy either.
No. I don't want that. I don't want an emotional relationship. I don't want a physical relationship. I don't want a cheater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So emotional relationships come from, do you know where they come from? From an insecurity.
Self-worth stuff.
Self-worth, yeah. You need that validation. Usually they can blossom into physical relationships because you have to seal the deal, kind of thing.
Mm.
So what if it's solely physical? Or can that not really be a thing?
Okay. Depends on how long. Let's say if it's 2 years of solely physical, it's not solely physical.
No.
Maybe.
Yeah.
No, that's, he's got another family. Or she's got another family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if it's just physical with lots of different women or men over a course, that's an issue.
That is, they're trying to prove to themselves that they're straight, usually.
Got it.
Does it make sense?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Okay, switching gears
a
little.
What else we got?
Can you love a porn addict?
Yes. Ooh. Can you love a drug addict?
Yes.
What's the difference?
An addict is an addict.
It is. The difference is porn addicts, like drug addicts, have to have the next fix.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, as we've talked about in other episodes, has to be a little bit more intense.
Yeah.
A little bit harder kick in the pants or whatever. No pun. I didn't mean that like I'm not kink shaming, but you know what I mean. Like, it's got to be more.
Yeah.
The difference is if you are a love language person that craves intimacy or physical touch, it will be extremely hard for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because a porn addict does not want that. They want the opposite of that. They want climax. They want satisfaction. They don't want intimacy. They don't want communication.
Mm-hmm.
They want to go to the room where they feel most comfortable jerking off, whether it's the living room, the bedroom, the bathroom. They want to be left alone. They want to do it as many times as they want to in a day, and they don't want anybody to give them grief. If you interrupt that, it interrupts their pattern, and then there will be hell to pay. It is a intense addiction, almost possibly to me, more physically intense and more physically aggressive than most drug addicts.
Really?
Especially if that's what they've been doing for like 10, 20, 30 years. There was a person I was counseling, and they, to me, this is a form of molestation, so just hear me out. They had a horrible home life, whatever. They went and stayed with some family members, and one of the family members, in their words, not mine, was a great man. He was there for them no matter what. Wonderful human, okay. But he had a porn addiction. And his favorite place to do this was in the living room. And this child didn't have a bedroom.
Mm-mm.
So when this child would come to stay with him, it would go to the living room to sleep on the couch. His porn addiction got so bad that he didn't care if that child was in the living room. He would watch porn and whack off in front of him.
Wow.
No.
Okay. So that's just hard for me to grasp, like, where the love comes in.
Because you love... It's how much you love yourself is what it boils down to. If you love yourself enough to go, I don't deserve this, then no, you can't love them.
So, at the end of the day, it is kind of all about self-worth.
All of it is. 24/7.
Mm-hmm. If you do not love yourself, you cannot love someone else.
Not just that, but, like, what are you putting into the relationship?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are you bringing to the table?
Like, here's the thing. I told you about the older couple, right, years ago that did this. He brought her to me. She didn't bring him. He brought her, like, she had an emotional affair. Look at her. Shame, shame, shame. That's not how we work. I'm like, why did she have an emotional affair? Was the last time you had sex? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Years. Okay.
No.
When's the last time you held hands? I've never been a touchy-feely person.
Well, this is a problem.
Well, you got her in the bed. Somehow you got 3 or 4 kids.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're not yours. I mean, I don't...
Whole other can of worms.
Not saying that she is, you know,
blameless.
No pun intended, and getting off scot-free. But
that was his name?
Yeah, one of them. But at the same time, you get out of a situation what you put in it, and we've got to be aware of that.
So if you're going to point the finger, you got to point that finger back at you.
Yeah. And that's the thing with relationships, whether it's sexual relationships or not. So are there any questions? Is that the last of that one?
There was one more, but it was not related to that.
Okay, let's go for it.
The other one was about in-laws. What happens if you are in a relationship, male or female, and you don't really get along with the in-laws?
That's a slippery slope, like. So it depends. Mm-hmm. I have known couples that married a person that was adopted. and they were treated like they were adopted, and it was bad, and the spouse also did not like their relatives.
Oof. That's a tough one.
So I tell those people, if you feel like your life is better without these people, and you feel like you could love them better from a distance, then set the boundary and go no contact. Mm-hmm. Okay? But if your spouse loves their mama and she hates you, then you have to really look at the situation before you get married. Because what I will tell you is, if you marry somebody that has an overbearing mother or father, and it's an issue when you get before you get married, it more than likely will be an issue until you all get a divorce or that parent dies.
It's not gonna change.
It doesn't change.
And I feel like if you bring children into the mix, it intensifies the problem, the issues.
Maybe. It does, because the, like, let's say it's a mother, like a man and woman.
Okay? Right.
And the woman marries a mama's boy. Which I pity the fool that marries my child. Because I do. Because I love my boys, and I will not tolerate that kind of stuff. And people being like, that's your mom, you can't just go hug her, you're 40 years old. Motherfucker, watch out. You know what I mean? So, it's ever, like, you married a mama's boy whose mom laid out their clothes for them up until they were, like, married to you. There are warning signs. Like, they still live at home. They don't pay any bills. Their mom picks up after them. She makes sure that they have clean. Like, there are warning signs. Yeah.
My mom was in love with somebody, and she decided not to marry. He proposed, and she decided not to marry him because he wasn't mama's boy.
That's a hard place to be.
It was.
It's really hard.
I've been with a few men that were mama's boys.
Me too.
It's rough.
It's hard.
Because you're never going to be that.
You never feel like you're...
But the thing is, that's... Okay, we'll get there. Yep. We'll get there. Okay. So, let's say that you're a female and you married a mama's boy. And then you have kids. Your kids are ultimately going to know how you feel about their grandmother. Whether you say it or not, they're going to probably dial into it. If you have a boy... They'll cling to you like your husband clings to his mother. And you won't be able to
stop that.
Yeah. So it's a hard place to be. Yeah. If it's a female who has the crazy family. You marry the in-laws. And that's something I tell everybody. You marry the in-laws. Be aware of that. It will come back to bite you in the butt at some point. So you, I think that I wish I could say it's this way and it's not. There's not. You just have to know that if you marry them, I'm not marrying them. I'm marrying, you know, I'm not marrying the in-laws. I'm marrying them.
No, you are.
Unless they go, hey, let me warn you about my family. They're scary. They're annoying. I love them because they're my family. But they can be obnoxious. I'm just going to go ahead and apologize.
If your spouse is aware of it.
Yeah. That's a different story.
Yep.
Okay. If they recognize that they're...
Way before you meet them.
And they say, I choose you and I will put you first.
Good luck with that line.
I've gotten that line.
But his family's not that bad.
His family's awesome. I love his family so much.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I got very lucky.
I know, but what I'm saying, you've got to realize if they know they're... When push comes to shove, if you look at his sister and say, you're a stupid bitch, blood is thicker than mud.
Don't say that.
Baby doll, you don't know what she said to get you to say that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you can't... Until you're there.
I feel like that's more of a proving type thing. Like, that has to be, like, proven. You know what I mean? Like, in situational things. But at the same time, like...
Depends.
Yeah.
Really depends.
Yeah. You got to know what you're marrying into before you decide to marry
Absolutely.
Them. I think that's number one. You got to ask some questions and be around them and figure that out ahead of time. Mm-hmm.
It is a situation that can be pretty intense. So we were talking about the ramifications of marrying people that have like mommy issues, daddy issues. That's a big one too. Like abandonment issues is most people have some form of it. And most people have some form of mommy or daddy or both, whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's kind of inevitable, but well, I can't remember what it was, how I said we'll get to that.
About like if you are with a man who has an overbearing mom.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So in those shoes, you usually, in order to get complete and total approval, especially if, let me rephrase that. A person could have an overbearing parent and not like it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And like a person can have an overbearing parent and I don't know if it's liking it or accept it. I don't know. It's more, it feels like liking it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they want you to be their mom. And you'll never be able to be their mom.
Right.
Yep.
That's a hard place to be.
I think you can say this a similar thing to the, like, the other side.
Yeah, to the female.
To the female is, like, she may have the idea that you'll never live up to being her dad.
Hey, listen, I can't counsel same-sex relationships. And you'd be surprised how many women have the issue and how many gay men have the issue of being a mommy's boy or a daddy's boy or a mama's girl and their spouse will never live up to that. I think some of the most interesting relationships are when like of same-sex relationships when it's a very strong mother that raises a daughter, it's a single mom that's strong, mm-hmm. and raises her daughter, and the daughter maybe gets married to a male, maybe has kids, but usually inevitably they divorce and she ends up with a female that is exactly like her mother. I see that a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because nothing will compare to her mom.
Nothing will ever compare to your mom.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the spouse always feels secondary then.
No, not normally in gay relationships.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Because there's a nurturing in female and male. I mean, it's really, there's a lot more. I think, of course, not all of them are perfect, but there's more communication.
Because
they want to talk about, they want to fix why they are the way they are. They want to know all the ins and outs. So.
Gotcha.
Wow.
They don't normally come to the conclusion like, hey, I'm into women because my mom was a strong woman and a man was never there for me, so therefore women have to be there for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that, I mean, ultimately, that's kind of what it boils down to.
Hmm.
Which I don't think a lot of people look at it that way, but when you've been doing this,
yep.
you have case studies, you go, okay, yeah.
You start seeing patterns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, you got to realize, like, growing up in the 90s and stuff, I'm not saying there weren't single moms before that. There have been single moms since the beginning of time, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, the abundance of single moms and dads walking out, what's really interesting is every once in a while, you will find what I call the reverse effect. You will find a very independent, strong female who's very masculine,
mm-hmm.
who likes very dainty feminine women, and they were raised by a very strong man without a mom.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
That's it. That one's always like very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I always learned so much.
I think it's a really different way to, like, you've got to be able to see things from different sides when you do counseling, especially couples counseling.
Yeah.
But I will say I appreciate you guys giving me a platform to talk about, because I think you guys learned something with it, too.
Mm-hmm. every day.
And if nothing else, it for me, it has definitely morphed my parenting style and everything I do. Mm-hmm. Because our first relationships are with our parents and our siblings and our grandparents, like those that are close to us. And how those form and continue and carry on is really what forms how our marriage will be. So if you have unstable relationships with them, at some point you have to step back and go, okay, I'm choosing to have a stable relationship with this. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It does.
So, unless there's any more questions, I think we can call this one done. And say you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Some Sam Gifted. You can find me, Tess Ray Lee McKittrick, on Facebook. And then you can reach out to us privately on Gmail at somesamgifted@gmail.com. We love you guys. Have a wonderful day, night, year, morning, all the above. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys. Love you.